The lesson this morning is Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 18. But it's in the context of a parable that Jesus told. I'm not going to retell the parable, but I will retell the explanation of the parable that he gives to his disciples and to those to his disciples. And would also remind you that all of this comes immediately after Luke has told us about a dinner hosted by a Pharisee at which a woman recognized by the town as a sinner came in and anointed Jesus' feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair, and then anointed him with oil. All those factors will enter into the message for this morning. So starting at verse 9, when Jesus' disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing they fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are those who hear, but they go on their way and are choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Incidentally, you'll notice in that explanation the three enemies of faith: the world, the flesh, and the devil who takes away the seed of faith, the world that chokes it out with the other cares and pastimes and pleasures and riches, and we ourselves who sometimes allow the seed to languish by simply not tending it. Jesus goes on to say, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." These three verses, starting at verse 16, are often seen as sort of just being thrown in there. They don't seem to have anything to do with the flow of the text, but we'll see today that maybe they do. Last week in Sunday school, we were talking about the parable of the sower, one of the more famous parables that Jesus had told. And first thing in Sunday school, you know, I always ask, are there any questions about the text, the sermon, or anything else in that order, so that any questions on the text or the sermon may get first priority. And right off the bat, Matt and Shelby were here last week, and Matt said, yeah, what's with this, I speak in parables so that hearing they may not hear? That seems kind of counterproductive. Or as people would say today, counterintuitive. Whatever that means. No. Anyway, I sort of stumbled around with an answer because it's a very good question and one that I really had expected would come up. Too bad I didn't prepare a better answer for it. But if we had only kept on reading last week, we might have seen that Jesus answers the question for himself. And so in today's lesson, Jesus has a very important message for us. The message is this: it's not always what you hear, or maybe a better way of putting it is, no matter how important what you hear may be, how you hear makes the difference. Look once more at the end of chapter 7. A crowd of people have been hearing what Jesus has been saying for some time now. One of them is a Pharisee, and he has invited Jesus to a dinner. The other is a sinful woman. A formerly sinful woman. The same word was preached for both of them. Both of them had heard. The difference was in how they heard. One heard and remained unchanged. The other was radically changed. You might say she was totally undone. The difference was not in what they heard. They both heard the same thing. The difference was in how they heard. Perhaps you've encountered this in your own life. In family life especially, it seems to happen occasionally. Where someone will say something and someone else isn't really listening. And they'll have to sort of raise the voice a little bit. And if that doesn't work, sometimes they lower their voice to a whisper and that catches attention. Sometimes a scowl helps. In Family Feud this past week, they asked the question, we asked 100 men, how often in a single day does your wife give you that look? And what look is it? It's the look that says you're not listening. Of course, sometimes we only damage ourselves by not listening. For instance, some of us live day by day with a sense of loneliness, or you might call it a quiet desperation, feeling very separated, very unattached to the world and even to those close to us. You've heard about people who feel alone in a crowd. And I'm sure Megan could tell us all about that. Living in Washington, D.C., a city of 500,000 people where millions of people work, and yet seeing people walk up and down the streets as if they're in a fog or in a daze. They have no awareness of anyone who's near them. In our modern technology world, sometimes our technology works against us, as you'll see if you go into Panera's, for example, or Starbucks, a giant, and probably when it opens up the road too. You'll see a crowd of college students, 5 or 6 of them, sitting around a table. But are they talking to each other? No. They're each looking at their smartphones. Some are texting, some are checking Facebook. Some are simply playing solitaire, and nobody is talking to anyone. Then you have the person who every day, their spouse says to them, I love you, and they say it back. But then maybe a day will come when one or maybe even both of them will actually hear what the other one is saying. And in some strange way, those three words will finally penetrate and make a difference. The words are said every day. It's all in how you hear. In this morning's lesson, Jesus has witnessed this difference between the Pharisee and the woman. And then on another occasion, he has told a parable about a sower with seed. Wonder if as he was telling that parable, he had that event in his mind of the Pharisee and the woman. Then his disciples want to know, why do you speak in parables? And he says, well, I speak in parables so that people won't understand what I'm saying, seems to be what he's saying. And we wonder, why would you do that? And I think now Jesus is giving us the answer. He's explaining what he means. Why God would have him speak in parables. He's not the first. In fact, the words he says, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand, is a paraphrase of words that God gave to Isaiah over 700 years before. So Jesus explains the mystery of parables, first from God's perspective and then from ours. He begins by saying, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it up with a jar or puts it under a bed. He puts it on a stand so that all who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. He's going to say those same words later as a warning to us, be careful what you do, because everything you do will be broadcast from the housetops. Anyone with a noisy neighbor or a nosy neighbor knows how that happens. They see everything you do, and they tell everybody too. But here, that's not Jesus' point. Jesus is not talking to us about ourselves and how everything we do will be made known. He's talking about God and saying that everything God is doing will one day be clear, and people will understand everything he has been doing since the creation, especially since the fall of Adam. All the questions that we have, why is there suffering? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why are these prayers answered and those prayers not answered? Everything will be made clear. Nothing is hidden that will not be known. And when he talks this way, he's also talking about the power of the seed. Because remember, he said the sower sows the seed. Well, the seed is the word of God. And the ground that he's sowing on are the various kinds of receptions that word gets in our hearts. He's saying that the seed that is being sown, the word that he is preaching, is full of power. It's almost a warning. Don't let that power in unless you're willing to let that power take over. Because the power in the Word of God is the power that created all things. Remember in Genesis, every time it says God created, it would say God said to himself, he's talking with himself about what he will do. When it comes time to create, he speaks, let there be light. There was light. Let there be a separation between the waters above the heavens and the waters below, and a firmament in between. And it was so. Let dry land appear. And it did. Let there be birds and fishes and animals of every kind. Let the sun and the moon and the stars appear in the sky. And it did. Let us make man in our own image. And he did. Hebrews says it's by faith that we believe that the world, everything we see, was not made out of things that can't be seen. It was made from nothing by the Word of God. If you take that Word in, if you hear it, not just listen, but hear, if you hear what he is saying, that Word will do its work in you. You may not see evidence of it right away, just like any of you have a garden. No, you plant a seed, and the seed packet will even tell you how many days it will take for you to see anything poking up out of the ground. I don't make a very good gardener, because I plant the seed and I camp out. And I just watch where I plant the seed. And it's days before anything grows. And before it grows, I give up on it. But it grows, because the power is in the seed. The power is not in the faith of the gardener. The power is in the seed. But the gardener has a role, and we'll see that in a moment. In the seed is power, and the seed is life. The seed, if it remains in the soil, will manifest itself. And the Word manifests itself by changing the person in whom it has fallen. And that's the catch. If you don't want your life to change, if you're perfectly content with who you are and what you are, chances are you will not hear that Word, because you will think you already know what the Word has to say. Yes, there's something in us that knows the power of the Word of God and makes us at the same time eager and anxious. We know we need what the Word offers. But we also know that if we take it in, if we ponder it, if we let it grow in us, if we hear it, it will take on a life of its own. And the life of God will begin to reign in us in place of ourselves. And the life of God will want us to change things that maybe we don't really want to change. And that's why Jesus adds his final word. I think it's a warning. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Now Jesus shifts the focus from the power of the seed to the question of how we hear his word, because how we hear it will make the difference between the seed staying in us and growing, or the seed being trampled or eaten by birds or choked out. Here Jesus says two things to us, and both of them have an edge to them. The first is an invitation to hear what he is saying, not to let it go in one ear and out the other. That's how the seed grows. When you hear the word, put your hand over one ear. And then the word will come in, it'll hit your other hand, and it'll bounce back into your brain, and it'll grow there. And you may actually begin to understand what that word is saying. In fact, in the old days, even when they read the printed word, they would read it out loud. That way, not only are they reading it, they're also hearing it at the same time. And there is power in hearing the word of God. In fact, there's power in hearing any word. Some people, when they're having a hard time making a decision, they'll want to talk about it. And so they might call you on the phone or stop over and say, I really need to talk to you. And you'll sit down with them and they'll start talking and they'll just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And before you have a chance to say a word, they'll take a deep breath and they'll say, thanks, I needed that. Now I know what I need to do. You've been a big help. And you're there like, what did I do? I didn't say a single word. But they heard themselves. It's one thing to have the argument up here, but when you speak the words and hear them, sometimes you begin to appreciate how silly your fears are when you put words to them. Sometimes when you speak and hear the words, your mind processes the information differently than when you're just thinking about it. There's power in hearing. Just ask yourself, when is the last time that you heard, really heard, someone say, I love you. I care about you. Perhaps it's been so long ago since you've heard the words. Maybe not since they were said, but since you heard them. That you can't even remember. Hearing the words spoken, even if you know they're true. Some people, especially guys, you know, the wife will say, I love you. Yes, I know, I know. But in the back of their mind, they hear the words. And once the words are spoken, they can't be taken back. You know how it is when people say things that aren't so nice. When you're a child and you hear, you'll never amount to anything. Or when you're grown and you hear words you heard as a child, you're so stupid. Or when you say those words to yourself, you trip over something. You're so clumsy. Those words have power too. The words of Satan have power. Not as much power as God's word. But when we listen to them, they have power. That's why we're to treat ourselves as being dead to sin. Not even listen to temptation. It's hard to do in a world like ours. The power that is in every word is magnified when we remember that we're talking here about the words of God. Jesus speaks of this quite often. For instance, he says today, take care then how you hear. On another occasion, he says, he who has ears, let him hear. On another occasion, very shortly, he will say to his disciples, listen carefully to what I say. And in John's gospel, he says quite often, truly, truly, I say to you. Or, amen, amen, I say to you. Maybe we should change that word amen to ahem. Ahem, ahem, I say to you. That's what Jesus is saying. He's trying to get our attention. Listen. The words I'm about to say are important, is what he's saying. In issuing this invitation to listen, Jesus is saying, there's power here, there's truth here. You may not want it. If you really want to control your own life, but if you want abundant life, you need to listen. So Jesus is saying that how we hear determines the kind of yield that the word will have in us. If we truly listen, if we take the words in, if we ponder them, if we let them settle deep within our mind and our heart, then the power of that word will begin to have its effect. The things that affect us most are the things that are buried most deeply in us, not the things on the surface. If we listen, if we hear, our lives will yield a harvest of truth. This is what the woman did, who showed such appreciation and love to Jesus, bathing his feet with her tears, anointing him with her oil, and drying his feet with her hair. She heard. The word penetrated deep into her, and she was changed. On the other hand, if we decide we've heard it all before, if we say to ourselves, yes, I know what you're saying, and then pay no more attention to it, we'll find that that word settling on the top of our hearing and not being allowed to penetrate will soon be carried off. Satan will find ways of pushing that word out of our lives. The world will find ways of distracting us with other things. And even we ourselves will see those seeds and pick them up and look at them and throw them away because we don't really want the life-changing power that they offer, because then we lose control. And so the word that has been sown in us is lost to the birds, to the rocks, to the weeds. But mostly it's lost to our own complacency. In the end, the last words we hear from Jesus just might be, I never knew you. Your life, instead of yielding the harvest of faith, has yielded only tares. Take care then how you hear, because how you hear can affect how the seed grows in you. And the seed must grow in you if you are to have life. In fact, how you hear may determine whether the seed stays at all or whether it's gone the moment after you've heard. In closing, I'd like you to share with me the responsive reading that's in the back, on the back page of your bulletin insert, entitled From Proverbs 2. In this reading, God, through Solomon, invites us to hear his words, to take his truth deep within us, and to allow that word and not our own desires to direct our lives. Hear my words and be attentive that you may gain insight.
For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teachings.
Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep them and live.
Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth.
Do not forsake wisdom, and she will keep you.
Love her, and she will guard you.
Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. Listen and accept my words that you may live long.
Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, so she is your life.
Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil.
Avoid it. Do not go on. Turn away from it and pass on.
The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day.
The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble.
Be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. They are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh.
Above all, guard your heart, for from it flows the strength of life.
Put away crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you.
Let your eyes look forward, and your gaze straight before you.
Ponder the path of your feet, and then all your ways will be sure.
Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away.
Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples.
And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Would the ushers please come forward for the offering?